welcome to the Kickstarter edition, August 31st, 2018. This is the show where we talk about the Kickstarter games we're backing, might back, and have already received and played. I'm one of your hosts, Kitty.
And I'm Chris. And this week we're backing the Dungeon Alliance and Alien Frontiers expansions. That's two separate things. Whiskey Business. We're watching Power Rangers, Welterweights, Thief's Fortune, Thieves' Den, Starcadia Quest, and finally, I will finally review Dungeon Alliance. Whew. All right.
A lot of thieves this week.
I know. It was such a thievery. I mean, last week we complained about not having enough stuff, and then the thieves came in and stole all kinds of good stuff, and there was just there was a ton of stuff this week.
Yeah. So let's talk about how you broke your rule.
Well, I'm thinking that technically, I broke my rule, sure. But if I go with my expansion rule, then I didn't back anything this week because I just backed two expansions. See?
Fair, sure.
See how that works?
Yeah.
So I backed the Dungeon Alliance expansion, just the expansion. So for this, I will we'll talk about a lot more of this in my review of Dungeon Alliance. But this adds some story cards and some campaign-y, more campaign mechanics and such to Dungeon Alliance. The expansion is only $25. There is a $50 for all the new stuff price level, but that included playmats. And I decided, no, I'm going to get Alien Frontiers as well, so I will only do the $25. If I want to pick up the playmats later, maybe I can do that. I have found that I have a lot of playmats that I never use, so I probably don't need to keep buying them.
Yep.
So that's me being responsible. And then the other expansion I backed was Alien Frontiers, the Faction Definitive Edition, because I really, really like Alien Frontiers, and this is I'm trying to play the games I like more than just buying games. So
what?
I know, shocking. I know. So I figure if I get some expansions, that breathes like new, well, not necessarily new life. It does breathe new life, but it also gives me an excuse to pull it off the shelf and play the game.
Definitely new interest.
Exactly. So Alien Frontiers, the Faction Edition, well, Faction Definitive Edition, allows you to buy everything, but you can just get the expansion for $39. And this is adds all of the asymmetric race powers that have ever been released for the game all in one set. And I don't have any of those expansions, so this is actually not a bad deal for $39. If you wanted to get everything, you could spend $85, and that gives you the base game and everything else. Now, Dungeon Alliance, that one is still live for the rest of the day. So if you back it before like 8 or 9 o'clock Eastern, you can still get that. It's, like I say, $25 for the expansion, up to $180 for everything, but there's lots of levels in between. Alien Frontiers has ended. So you'll have to check their pledge manager when that opens up if you're interested in that. All right, what'd you get?
I backed Whiskey Business because I'm trying to cover my Christmas shopping as well as record a podcast.
Oh,
two birds,
smart.
One stone. Yeah.
I like it.
So this is definitely going to be for Spencer when it comes in. This is a strategic tabletop party dice game. It looks really fun. It's kind of a Yahtzee thing going on where you're trying to use your dice to distill different types of whiskey. There are optional drinking rules. Looks really fun. Nice party game, more mechanics than Cards Against Humanity, but don't have to do too much paying attention, focusing.
Yeah. It's a press your luck dice game that involves whiskey. Where can you go wrong there?
I can't think of anything. So you have until September 7th, and they do say it will be shipping for the holidays. I'm not going to hold my breath, but we'll see.
Well, as a backup, you can just get him a bottle of whiskey.
Yep. So I plan on doing both.
That's actually perfect. And it's fun. This game is only $30. It's cheaper than many bottles of whiskey.
It's cheaper than I think any bottle of whiskey he owns. Yeah.
Oh, that's sad. All right.
He's a fancy man with fancy man tastes.
I'm all about the cheapest whiskey I can find because I just mix it with Diet Coke.
Ugh.
I know. And there's so many people. I've gotten some drink recipes emailed to us. I haven't tried them yet, but there's the Manhattan. I'm going to have to try that one.
Spencer is a big fan of the Manhattan. So,
all right. This is not a drinking podcast. This is a Kickstarter podcast.
Which occasionally ventures into drinking territory.
Exactly. Well, speaking of something you may have to drink for, depending on your childhood memories and such, we're now into games that we're watching. And this one, typically I wouldn't even click on this, but I'm like, well, it looks interesting. And I am kind of curious about anything that is based on a big license, just to see how it worked out. I am talking about the Power Rangers, Heroes of the Grid board game. I will be honest, I expected to click into this and just shake my head back and forth and be like, no, this is ridiculous. It's just terrible. They're just taking the license and making miniatures out of it. They are, but it actually looks like a pretty good game. And if it wasn't... All right, I'll explain the game. So... It is a cooperative game for 2 to 5 players. Everyone plays a Power Ranger, of course, and you have your own combat deck. I think it's like 10 or 12 cards or something like that. It's not a huge deck.
Okay.
But it's unique to your Ranger. You're going to have a hand of 3 cards. You're going to play against what they call a deployment deck. And the way this deck works, you can kind of think of it like a pandemic type of thing. So you're going to draw something and it's going to tell you how many minions go in a particular location.
Like a crisis deck or...
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. But now, think pandemic. If you've played pandemic, you flip it over and you see, oh, it's a virus that's going in Paris. Fine. But now imagine that on the front, it tells you the color of the virus, and on the back of the next card, it tells you the location. Because that's how this works. So there's,
oh, okay.
Yeah, there's different locations around the town. So you flip it up, and they're like, oh, 2 putty men are going to be at the school, because the next card, the back of it, says school. So you flip one of those... Yeah, it's kind of a neat mechanic. So there's a couple others, like Welcome To is a roll and write that does it. And I've seen it in a couple others as well. But I really like that mechanic because it varies the deck up quite a bit.
Yeah.
It can be really confusing if you're first playing and you're like, wait a minute, why does it locations? And wait, is this a location card? Or it's both. So after you've done your flipped your card for each character... So if you have 4 players, you're going to flip it 4 times. Then there's minions all over the town, because apparently this town attracts minions like nobody's business. You then can move your rangers around, and you basically have 3 actions. You can move, you can fight, and you can recover. Moving's pretty simple. You can go to any zone anywhere. There's no adjacency rules. You just teleport to wherever you're going. Resting is pretty simple. You get cards back, because your deck's pretty small, so it allows you to put some cards back into your deck. Or you can go back to the command center and heal fully, but that takes an extra move on your next turn. Battle gets interesting, though. So if you battle, all of the rangers at your location participate in the battle. But you only have 2 action points, or 2 power, actually, to spend on playing cards. You play cards, typical fighting and battling, that's fine. So you need to do 2 damage to a minion, whatever. You might roll some dice, it might just say do it, whatever. If the minion doesn't die, it does damage back to you. And this is another really clever mechanic, is the damage isn't like you have a number of hit points. You flip up a card from your draw deck, and you look on the bottom, and the card has a number of shields on it that it absorbed that much damage. If there's more damage, like if it takes all the shields, that card is discarded. And you have to draw another one until you've absorbed all the damage. Now, if you block it, say you took 2 damage and you draw something that has a 3 shield, you'll just put that at the bottom of your deck and you don't actually lose it. So I thought that was kind of a cool, like both of these mechanics
really
are kind of cool.
That is a really interesting mechanic, yeah. And I like the mix of them together probably makes for something that doesn't feel like you've played it a million times already.
I was watching, they have an actual play on the site, and it's with actors from the different movies and stuff. I don't know them. I've watched 1 movie. That's it. It actually wasn't terrible, but.
This is my childhood. So,
yeah,
you know.
I missed this one. This is not my childhood. I was in high school by the time this came out. So.
Yep. You're a lot older than me.
Only a little bit.
Decade. Yeah.
But I was watching the actual play and I was actually kind of riveted. I had to stop it to start recording because I'm like, oh, this is actually interesting watching them play a game.
Don't let it make you think that the show is good because it's not.
No, it isn't. It isn't.
It's
but the
real
game,
bad.
The game actually looks pretty good. And so the way you lose is each location has a panic level. And if you have more minions than the panic level, that location will panic. If 4 locations are panicked, you lose the game. But if you clear all the minions out from a zone, they'll go from panicked to not panicked. So that's good. the way you win is you're going to flip through this deployment deck, and when a monster comes up, that's going to automatically panic the zonies in. The deck gets reshuffled, and the master enemy gets put at the bottom of that deck, and you need to defeat the master enemy to beat the game. Okay. So you just have to like last long enough to get to that master enemy, defeat them, and you win the game. There's tons of miniatures for this thing. And the Kickstarter, like the Kickstarter stretch goals add a bunch of extra characters. So there's obviously the five Rangers are in there, but you have various versions of the Rangers that are unlocked now. There's extra allies that are unlocked and stuff. So there's a lot of variety in the types of characters you can play and all the monsters and stuff like that. So I've talked way too long about Power Rangers, but this game, the gameplay kind of impressed me. So if it is from your childhood and you like Power Rangers, or you want to share this with your kids who are watching the newer Power Rangers, which are like, if you're old and curmudgeon, you're like, that's not the Power Rangers of my day. This is the one for you. So $75 for the base game, $240 for the all-in everything and lots of ranges in between. Goes till September 6th. That's Power Rangers Heroes of the Grid. All right.
So speaking of games that look cool but have a theme that are like, huh, I didn't think I'd like this. Welterweights, a card programming boxing game for two players. So you are head-to-head in a boxing match. You select cards from your left and right deck to try to land punches and avoid being knocked out. So this looks really cool mechanics. It's a card game where you have your left-hand deck and your right-hand deck, and they each have different moves like punch, block, feint, right hook, left hook, that kind of stuff. All boxing moves. I clearly don't know very much about boxing, so do not judge me here.
Those sound good to me.
I believe the way it works is you draw eight cards, you pick four, and you decide what order they're going to go in, and then you and your opponent play simultaneously, so you try to hit them and block their hits to you. So you, when you get hit, you add dazed cards to your deck, so those act kind of like damage, but when you draw them, it's just a move that you don't have. And if you draw all dazed cards, then you're knocked out and you're trying to knock out your opponent. You can get so many gets you a win by TKO. You can gain points to win by decision. There's lots of different kind of nuances to the game. It looks pretty cool for a two-player head-to-head card game.
Yeah.
Art's fun.
Yeah, I like the Kickstarter. There's like so many full-screen animated images. But I really like the concept of wound cards, where as you're drawing things, you getting hurt is just making you have less ability to do more stuff.
It seems like they've put a lot of thought into how boxing would work as a card game. It really seems to have my limited knowledge of watching, like, you know, three boxing matches in my life. I'm like, oh yeah, this kind of seems like how it works. It's like you just kind of get worn down more than you get, you know, actual damage. It's not like you're taking actual wounds. You just kind of get tired, worn out, dazed.
Yep. And then if you're dazed, you are knocked out or win by KO, or the other person wins by KO.
Yep.
This, I agree. This is not something I would have looked at, but after hearing you talk about it, I'm like, huh.
Yeah. I pulled it up because, you know, I was like, oh, I try not to be biased by themes. And, you know, this one proved that is, you know, a good practice. Look past the theme. So you have until September 17th. This is $19. There is a $5 print and play option, and it is Welterweights.
All right. The next one I'm going to talk about is our first of the two Thief games, and that is A Thief's Fortune. Now, this is by Artipia Games. They did Fields of Green, and they did some the space one that is Fields of Green was based off of, and a few other games that I've liked. So it's a proven publisher. I actually have 13 Kickstarters to their name now. This is their 13th. But this, one of the main reasons I really, really like read further into this, because I watched the video, because I watch the videos of all these things, because it's like a 2-minute preview. Do I want to look further? The concept of this is you're a thief and you have gotten really good at, no, sorry. You're not a thief. There is a thief. And this thief has gotten really good at stealing things. So he's going to the ultimate heist. He's going to break into the castle, and he makes it to the treasure room, and he's gathering all this treasure, and he looks over and he sees this special treasure chest, and he goes and he picks the lock and he opens it up and he pulls out this hourglass. And this hourglass allows him to see his future. You are playing one of his futures. So what happens is you are trying to be the future that the thief picks to get out of the city and have the best, you know, fortune in the end. I just love that concept because there's so many games.
It's a really cool concept.
Yeah. It's like the story. Like, there's so many games out there that are the person with the most victory points wins. And this is that. But the idea behind how you get victory points and why, I'm like, okay, I like this.
This is really cool. I also looked at this one. I almost put it in, but I didn't because I picked the other thief game.
And I had that one typed in halfway without noticing that you'd put it in there before I want to talk about this other thief game first. So we at least we like thieves. So
I know, lots of overlap this week between us. It pays to get the notes done first, though, because I get to talk about the other thief game.
That's true. All right. This one is a 1-4 player competitive game. So the one player rules have to be a little bit different. I'm guessing you're trying to beat a score or something. I didn't look too much into that. But it plays pretty simply. So there's 5 rounds. So you're going to play through your 5 rounds, and there's a number of phases on each round. Simple enough. But the planning phase is you're trying to pick locations you're going to go to and actions you're going to play. So you draw 5 cards from 3 different decks, and the decks are different types of things that can happen. You're going to play one of those cards, and you're going to play that into the future. And then that card is going to have a number of basically loot on it. It could be different resources and stuff you're going to pick up after it. You're going to pass 2 of those cards to your left or right, and then you're going to keep 2 for future to play at a later time. During the loot phase, you're going to take loot off of all your future cards. And if a future card ever doesn't have any loot on it, it moves into the present. And then you're going to take 2 actions that can be based on cards that you're holding, action spaces on the board, cards you've already played, or whatever the case may be. And then finally, there's a bribe phase. So as guards get closer to you, you can pay them off. And if you don't pay them off, then you lose a victory point. You lose a fortune point. And that's essentially the game. So it's this drafting, passing, past, future, present, managing timeline. So you're managing this timeline. You want to create the best scenario for getting out of the city for this thief who now has this cool magic item, which just happens to be kind of you, but not really a fraction of you.
It's really cool. It reminds me a little bit of Solomon Kane, where you're playing like different aspects of the same kind of character. But
that's true. Like, yeah, Solomon Kane, where you're controlling, everybody's controlling a version of that character, but not the character directly.
Yeah, it's interesting.
There was a video game, I want to say, there was an Arabian thief, but he could control time. So in the video game, you would do something, and if it messed up, you would hit the
Prince
back
of Persia.
Button. Prince of Persia, yes. So that
made a really bad movie with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Really?
I think so. You'd probably like the movie.
I really like bad movies based on.
I know you do. You and my mom both.
Come on, they make them for somebody. So this is what that reminds me of, is like you're going back in time and rewinding and going forward and following these different paths. But anyway, that is The Thief's Fortune. It is the better of the 2 Thieves games we're going to talk about. It goes till September 20th. It's $36. And why don't you tell us about the lesser of the 2 Thieves games?
I think this is the better of the 2 Thieves games. It is Thieves' Den, a card drafting worker placement game set in the magical Victorian fantasy world of Amarynth. Amarynth? Sure. That we created for 10 Minute Heist. So this is from the makers of 10 Minute Heist. And you are playing thieves where the boss thief has been captured. So now you are all vying to become the new boss thief in this magical world. And so you are drafting locations into your area, and you can use your thieves. So you have, it's a worker placement. You have little thieves that you get to put in locations where you can gain treasures. You can fence your treasures, but then you lose your thief. They go back into the pool. You can take other actions. I believe your treasures that you gain can either gain you, what do they call it? It's prestige. There you go. So they can gain you prestige, or they have effects that you can use to play during the turn. And at the end of each round, everything gets cleaned up and you play again and you play three rounds. And after the three rounds, whoever has the most prestige wins. They also have a expansion here for Fortune Favors the Bold, which adds dice. There's a gambling ship you can go to as one of your choices. And there was something else that you could do with the dice expansion that I did not put in the notes. But something they're doing that's a little bit weird with this Kickstarter is all of the stretch goals are going into the expansion.
If you don't get the expansion, you don't get the stretch goals.
Yeah. So they've got like more locations and character abilities, but you only get them if you back the whole thing, which it's not crazy expensive. It's $29 for just the base game, $39 with the expansion. So I don't know why you wouldn't back without the expansion, but yeah, maybe honestly, that's just the Chris in me.
Well, that's true too. But if you look at this game, like this is a full-fledged board game. Like it's a worker placement game. The board, it's not a huge board. It's probably half the size of like a Monopoly board or something that size. There's a decent amount of cards. The art's great. The graphic design is great. The gameplay does look really good.
It looks great for a $40 game for all of this with all of the stuff. I would go for it. Like, I almost don't know why they're calling it like an expansion. It's, I don't know. It looks really good, but there's part of me that's like, I feel like I'm missing out if I'm only backing the base level. I don't know.
It comes with 35 thief tokens and then 5 custom dice on top of that with the expansion. Yeah, just go for the whole thing.
Yeah. I think devil on the shoulder here. Do it. If you're going to back it back for the, it's only $39, which is like, you know, $4 over my normal price cap. So it's not so bad.
And it does not include shipping. It is an extra dollar for the expansion for shipping. So it's $7 to the US and crazy amounts of money to Brazil and Russia. So shipping to Brazil and Russia is $50. So typically they don't put the shipping prices like right inside of the pledge boxes, so I don't notice them. But that is insane.
Sometimes they do.
Yep.
It's usually I've noticed that there are certain countries that shipping to is always tricky.
It's insane. Yeah. Shipping anything to Brazil is crazy. I have some friends in Brazil and they'll come up here for work and they'll just load up on things and come back because you can't ship anything down there.
Weird. Interesting. But yeah, so that's Thieves Den. You have until September 18th. And it looks really fun. And I think it's the better of the Thieves games.
These almost tied. If you had not talked about it this week, I would have talked about it next week.
It's really cool looking.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of really cool looking, we're going to now talk about the new CMON Kickstarter. It seems like they can't put anything out that I won't buy. But this one is one that I've been super excited for. So this is Starcadia Quest.
Now, which is like made for you.
It is. It is a sci-fi in space Arcadia Quest. And anyone who's listened to me for any length of time knows that Arcadia Quest is one of my favorite games. Starcadia Quest is a little bit different. It's the same. If you know Arcadia Quest, then you'll pick it up in no time flat. But they made some changes to streamline this that are actually kind of make the game play faster. And I don't think that they're bad changes. So there's a number of things that are happening here. So number one, this one's hard to tell. Should I tell about all the changes between the two or should I just talk about what the game is? I'm going to talk about what the game is. You are a duo of characters. So you're going to pick two characters and you are in a little shuttle pod and there's different missions and depending on the missions, you'll have to do different things. But ultimately, it's boarding some kind of space station, going through the space station, fighting off bad guys until you are able to complete the mission, whatever that mission happens to be. The boards are different, they're kind of like, they have teleport spaces on them. They're very dynamic in how you can set them up. And unlike Arcadia Quest, where everything was set up very specifically, there's a lot more random setup in this to increase the replayability for different scenarios. So, you know, what monsters are showing up, where they show up, those types of things will be variable throughout. There's a lot more interactions with the board themselves. So there's tons of different like tokens you can pick up, power tokens, health tokens, those type of things. There's little computer terminals and things that you'll have to interact with on certain quests and missions. The way you're, but you're, this is not cooperative. This is semi-competitive. So you have to complete the environment missions, which is whatever the mission is for the board, to beat the game. But you also have to at least knock out one of your opponent's characters. So you only get credit for the first time you knock them out. You don't get anything after that. But there's still some, I want to be the one that, you know, gets all the glory and victory type of things. That's so prevalent in Arcadia Quest, in Arcadia Quest. Let's see, other changes they made here. There's an environment draw pile now. So at the end of each turn, you're going to draw something and you're going to control the board a little bit more. So there's a lot more interaction. In Arcadia Quest, you'd run around and typically the monsters didn't attack you unless you were like right next to them and moved away or something. Like if you move past them, they'd like take a swing at you, but they wouldn't come after you. So you could stay away from them. Later on, there are expansions that you could play cards that take control of monsters and fight other people. This one has that built in from the beginning. The upgrades for the different character powers and stuff, like the you know, your weapons and such, are tiles now instead of cards. And I believe you can get 6 of them instead of the standard 4 in Arcadia Quest. So there's a little bit more variability in how you can customize your characters. Arcadia Quest had 3 heroes that you would play, but we always named one of them Backpack. Because that's essentially, he'd just sit in home base and like hold stuff that we didn't want to use for this mission. So they took away Backpack from you. So there's a lot more interesting, like you're more focused on the 2 characters that you really want to play and you can kind of team them up better, I think.
Does that mean you have to focus more on kind of your inventory management then?
A little bit. And I think that's why you still have the same number of items. So in the other one, you had 4 items per character. This one, you have 3 items or 6 items per character. Okay. So you can still have all those cool items and power-ups and stuff. You just don't have to worry about that third character and being like, well, what do I do with this guy? Because you kind of move back and forth. And when you're out of, every time you use your equipments, you flip them over. And if you're out of actions, because those are your actions, then you have to rest and then you flip everything up. So it made it a little weird because you'd be moving your first 2 characters out in Arcadia Quest and your third one would just stay back there unless somebody killed you. And then you'd bounce back to your home base, but now you are still with at the same starting position as your third character. So yeah. This one gives you a little bit more, like I say, focus on the characters you're playing and not as much have a spare character you're not going to play as often. It's cool mini or not. So the minis look awesome. The art looks amazing. This is only a 2-week Kickstarter. And I don't think I like these short Kickstarters from CMON just because I feel like, you know, all the teasers and extras and stuff, I don't see as many of them, even though it's all pre-planned and it has nothing to do with anything. But
also, how long did it take for this one to fund?
I don't know, like 3 or 4 minutes.
Right. So I don't know why they would keep dragging them out when clearly it's just like, oh, like I feel like they could do like, were they the company that did the 48-hour like quick
They did a 5-day one for Arcadia Quest Riders. And I didn't like that either. I like the longer ones. I like 3 weeks.
I know you do. But they don't need it.
They don't.
People who want the things. They're watching. They're looking. They're backing within minutes.
They are. And this already has 4,000 backers. It's only raised $400,000 only.
Right.
it'll hit 1 million. But I'm wondering if maybe Arcadia Quest is not their big money maker. So they're like, yeah, $1 million, fine. We don't need to make much more than that. So, and I honestly don't know. I need to talk to some people over there. Maybe at SNL... hit up Eric Lang and say, okay, give me the lowdown on this whole Kickstarter strategy of yours, which is obviously working because they make awesome stuff. But
I think that this is a Kickstarter we could get Josh to back.
Ooh.
Because maybe he loves Arcadia Quest.
He does. And if he had it, and Gloria likes space stuff.
Yeah. So I think that you should tell Josh that you didn't back this, even though you probably, you could physically not back this. Like, you would like go into some sort of shock or something if you didn't. But just tell Josh, lie to Josh and be like, oh, sorry, I backed something else. So, you know, I have to follow the rule and make him back it too.
You know what's funny is we're shopping for Spencer and we're lying to Josh. And if either of them actually listened to us, it wouldn't work.
Josh might. We might get an email tomorrow afternoon. Sometimes Josh does. I don't know if he listens to the Kickstarter one.
I don't think he listens to the Kickstarter one. He listens to the ones that he's not on of the normal one.
Yeah.
But.
Too funny.
All right. But I'm fine with lying to Josh. I'll totally do that.
All right.
All right. So anyway, this one does go until September 11th. It is $80 if you want the base game. If you're going to back this, though, back it at $120, because then you get the Armada expansion, which is Pirates.
And Space Pirates. Who doesn't?
Space Pirates.
Who doesn't love Space Pirates?
Everybody loves, especially these little tentacle, one-eyed monster Space Pirates. there's a ton of stretch goals and extras and stuff. Not as much as you would see in a normal 21-day long Kickstarter, but there's still tons of extras and things on here to get that are Kickstarter exclusives. They've unlocked, well, all the stretch goals they've put up here so far. And then, well, they always have one. So it's like they watch it, and every like 10,000, they'll back another or add another stretch goal on there every time they meet it. But there's a lot of extras already. And that is Starcadia Quest. If you haven't played Arcadia Quest, at least get this one because this is fun. All right. What are we up to right now?
All right, we're going to review. That's all I had this week.
All right. Well, review time. So Dungeon Alliance. I've been threatening to review this one for a while. I finally did get around to playing it. And I'm going to start with the negatives first. Negative number one. It looks really intimidating because there's so many cards in the box and there's so many tokens and so many things. And I'm like, oh, this is just going to be overwhelming.
Castles of Burgundy syndrome.
It does. And it's just, there's so much there. And then there's rule books and there's two rule books and there's a lot of different options in the game. And it just, one of the reasons why I never got it out, I opened it multiple times. I set it up multiple times, but just getting to playing it was really just getting over that hump of setup. Once you get past that and once you've done it like once, it all goes away. It's actually a pretty straightforward game. Now, there's a ton of play modes in the base box. The standard one is a competitive mode. You are going to draft four characters. Those four characters each have a like class ability and class icons and race icons. So you may have two shields, so you're a very defendery guy. Or you might have an arcana icon and a leaf icon, so you're kind of a druid magic caster person. You're going to have three cards that go with those heroes. So for a total of 12 cards once you've drafted your four heroes. That is your starting deck. So ultimately, this is a deck-building game, dungeon crawl at the same time. But it's the way the dungeon crawl works is everything is predictive. You can see everything. So it's way more of a puzzle than it is a random roll fest or anything like that. You're going to be able to go through doors, and the dungeon's square, and you can go through any wall leads to the next wall. So whoever built the dungeons in this world said, we really like a grid system, and every door will connect every other door, whether that be secret, locked, or open. When you open a door, there's two tiles that are face up, and you get to pick which one of those tiles you want, rotate it any way you want. On that tile has little pictures of monsters, and those are the monsters that are going to be on that tile. So you place the tile, you find the little monster pieces that go with it, boom, that is what's revealed there. You then flip up a new tile, and you can see the next two tiles are going to show up, and you get to pick one of those when you go through a door again. When you attack, what you're going to do, and you can move and attack, and there's some other things, but mostly it's moving and attacking, and you can spend movement points to open doors or open chests or disarm traps or whatever the case may be. But when you attack, you can play, or when you do anything, you can play cards, and you can play those cards on any of your heroes. But you're activating one hero at a time, and that hero is the only one that's actually playing cards, so he has to have the right symbols for the card you're going to play from your hand. So if I have a two-sword class icon, I can only play things with a sword or two swords on it from my hand. Hopefully it doesn't sound too confusing, but essentially there's cards that you can play. Those cards stay in play for the entire round. Then everyone else activates a hero, and Then, in reverse order, everyone activates a monster that will attack back different characters. Then you go and everyone activates their second hero, and then monsters attack. Then third, and then monsters. And fourth, and then monsters. Once everything's gone, you're going to take up all those cards that you've been playing out, because they're all persistent over those rounds. Take them out, discard them, and then you start the next round. You play four rounds. So each character is going to get activated four times, 16 total activations. Whoever has the most experience at the end of the game wins. That is the competitive version, and it's not the most exciting, but it is probably the easiest to kind of get into. The part where this gets really interesting is when you actually go into the solo and co-op modes. These are cool, because with the solo mode, what happens is number of characters, drafting, all that happens the same way, but you're going to pick three quests to go against. There's going to be a level one quest, level two quest, and level three quest. And these are very variable. They can be find the fairy and cast spells to release her from her prison. That's the first quest. And then go defeat the orc boss. That's the second quest. And then the Lich King, you have to defeat them, and then you will win the co-op scenario or the solo scenario. That I find a lot more interesting, and I think this game is more interesting as a co-op story type of game than it is a competitive game. And that is why I back the expansions, because the expansion adds even more story to it and adds these random story events. There's no campaign mode. Well, there kind of is a campaign mode, but the storyline isn't like it's not a set storyline. You have different story cards and stuff that will come up to kind of tell your own story. You'll just get to carry over things from one session to the next, if that makes sense.
So do you think that the competitive mode is really there as kind of like a learning tool to engage the solo cooperative mode? Or do you think that some people might enjoy it as is competitive?
So I think that the competitive mode is how Andrew Parks, the designer of the game, actually designed it and saw it being played. And when he put the Kickstarter up, there was lots and lots and lots of demand to see a solo mode. So he created that. And the solo mode was get X number of experience and then try to beat your score later. And Rado, who does Rado Run Through, said, the game is good, but I don't really like the whole just beat my previous score. I want to have a mission. I want to know I won or lost. And then he went back and he designed the solo and co-op quest system, which completely changed it to the point where it's like, oh, wow, this is a really cool game now. Because now you can win or lose. And each time you play it, you know, that co-op feel with the dungeons and the characters, it just feels like you're trying to work together on something. But ultimately, I think he meant for it to be Arcadia Quest hardcore. So basically you're controlling multiple heroes and you're trying to fight each other and gather loot and get better stuff.
Okay.
So, and it is a deck building game. So as you get experience, you spend your experience to get new cards and you put those cards in your deck, and you can buy any card that any of your characters can use. So I was playing, I didn't have any Arcana characters. So anytime an Arcana card showed up, I could not buy that, but Sydney would be able to buy it because she had an Arcana character. So that type of thing. And if nobody can buy the card on the board, you just discard it and replace it with another card.
Makes sense.
So, that is Dungeon Alliance. I will be playing it again next week, because that's when we actually schedule to play it. I'll be playing it with some work friends. So I'm looking forward to playing it with them.
All right. Sounds good.
We're done.
All right. Thanks for listening. The Kickstarter edition is produced by Tabletop Game Talk Studios, a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Be sure to check out our on-topic episodes anywhere you find podcasts or at tabletopgametalk.com. You can follow us on Facebook at Tabletop Game Talk Podcast, Twitter at Tabletop Game TLK. I'm at Lawful Good Mom, and Chris is at Game Master Chris. If you have a Kickstarter you think we should check out, email us at Kickstarter@tabletopgametalk.com. And finally, thank you to our Patreon friends of the show, Emil Jiljam, George Gia, Adam Harrison, Corey Bell, and the SGC.
Until next week, keep playing games and having fun.